Hello, I'm Rafik, and you're watching the Garbled Twistery Channel.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another Garbled Twistery kind of day. What is the agenda here? Oh yes, in between election episodes. And this week, we're taking a look at the 1826 event that starts as an ROTC heist gone wrong and ends in a full-blown riot. And what is the cause of the riot?
Alcoholic eggnog.
Yeah, you heard me. A riot about eggnog. The can of worms is open. We just gotta eat them now. Okay, so because this happened at a freaking military base, there's a whole play-by-play to look at. But first, we gotta get a little context, of course. You see, the thing about the dairy farm industry in 1826 is that it was literally exploding. There were dairy queens all over the place. The cows were leaking. The rivers ran with milk, just like in a Cookie Crisp commercial. And Jorge Washington himself, he was an eggnog man. And by eggnog man, I mean rum, sherry, brandy, and whiskey all in the same freaking milk carton. Other context. In 1826, the person who was running the official United States Death Weaponmeister Academy was some Poindexter named Sylvan Thalman. And it had like 36 teachers, and the four subjects that were taught were numbers, bridges, why does pee look like that, and how do we shoot people who pee too much. And the third, obvious and necessary piece of context, was that alcohol was
strictly prohibited in this illustrious school for girls.
We don't want to see it. We don't want to see that you drank it. And if you end up in the hospital, you ain't coming back. And if we see you smoking that pipe, if we see you sneaking and playing that pachinko machine, demerit. You stupid cadets, this ain't a frat. Y'all are drinking too much. We're raising soldiers here, not alcoholics. Throwing up in class, No more whiskey in the eggnog at the Christmas party. Not this year. It's 1826 and you're gonna get it together. And so it begins.
Friday, December 22nd, 1826, 9 o'clock p.m.
A fool named Billy Bupkis is sitting in a bar with his friend Samuel Julia Roberts. They almost got into a whole fight at a different bar hours earlier over trying to smuggle some alcohol into the eggnog at the Christmas party. James Dugan, a military nobody, sees these kids down on their luck because they can't figure out how to disobey school policy. He walks over to them. Quote, "Hey, fellas, I have a boat. You can, like, swim across the Hudson for your little heist if you want. I mean, it's 1826. What are they gonna do? Card you?" Unquote. And the plan was set. Cross the Hudson, get the whiskey, get back, sneak past Philip, get to room 33, spike the eggnog. Oh, Cadet Lewis found some rum laying around too? Toss it in there!
Saturday, December 23rd. 1826, 7 o'clock a.m.
Slayer is talking with Maria Bamford and Bob E. Lee about trigonometry and the kids' parents. You know, usual break room talk. Class continued, business as usual.
5:45 p.m.
Slayer has a Christmas party at the band hangout. There's wine, the Reverend's there, it's a little fancy, and Major Butterball has some tea to spill. Quote, "Jefferson Davis is an insubordinate little cockroach. Like, why does he even go here? I'm losing my mind, man. I swear this boy is going to single-handedly ruin this whole country. Good Lord." Unquote. And so on, and so forth, until the party ends at like 9:30.
6 o'clock p.m.
Four cadets are sitting in a bar. They talk about their day. That's the punchline! I'm here all night! Anyways, they leave the bar just as one of the higher-ups named Aeneas McKendrin walks in, cut to the barracks, and the kids are getting ready to, turn upwards. These preparations include stealing food from the mess hall, goblins at a dinner party style. Oh, and the kids on the other side of campus are finding out what's up through Snapchat.
Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, 1826, midnight.
So, some dude named Nathan has the overnight watch. Oh, and Captain Ethan Albert Hitchcock was there too, and they were gossiping as well. Quote, "These kids think they're so smart, but I'm telling you, these walls are thin," unquote. The first frat party starts in room 28, and cadets come and go as it goes on, typical stuff. And another party starts in room 5, and the first party somehow snatched another gallon of whiskey from that party. Again, typical fraternity shenanigans. So, of course, it's the early morning now, and all the cadets are singing and drunk in the club, the dorm. And Charlie Whippet, an RA, but not the one on duty, shows up and is all like, quote, "It's 2 in the morning. I can't get any sleep. Have you forgotten where you are? Let me remind you, this is a military academy. In fact, this is West Point. This is the military academy. Alcoholism is earned here. This is an insult. Go to bed." Unquote. And that was that for now. Ethan Albert Hitchcock, the RA on duty, did do a go around at 3 a.m. and everything seemed fine. And Lieutenant Billy Torndale slept through the whole thing. An hour later, Ethan Albert Hitchcock is hearing loud voices all the way from room 28. He investigates. He opens the door and boom, 6 cadets caught red-handed, or should I say, drunk, eggnogged. Oh, and another 2 were just asleep, lol. Albert Hitchcock starts spitting bars. Quote, "This is a military academy. We follow laws. You're breaking our laws. You are filthy criminals." Unquote. And a drunk cadet, James Weems, fires back less successfully. Quote, "Well, George Washington, and I don't like your face. How about that?" Unquote. Typical frat party interrupted interaction. This escalates to the point where Albert Hitchcock somehow ends up literally reciting British laws, and he leaves at like 4:15 in the morning. No harm, no foul, right? Wrong. When R.A. Albert Hitchcock leaves, Weems is still drunk and still talking. "I hate him. George Washington, he needs a bullet in the shoulder. That'll humble him." And his friend, Billy Murdoch, is like, "Bullets? Bullets? I love bullets! Hey, let's start a riot!"
Christmas Day, 1826, 5 a.m.
Albert Hitchcock is asleep. He hears 3 knocks at the door. He answers it. No one is there. He finds another drunk kid and notices that class clown menace to society of a cadet, Jefferson Davis, is walking over to room 5. But the boy saw him too, so Jeff is all like, "Hide the booze, the RA is coming." Hitchcock shows up. "Let me see what's in your locker." "You can't force me to do that." "Okay, I'm backing off. Stop all the loud nonsense. You're embarrassing." Hitchcock leaves, and he's looking for the other RA, Billy Thorndale. Where was the other RA? Well. While Albert Hitchcock started looking for his partner, Billy Thorndale, Billy decided to investigate all the noise that was going on in room 28. You know, the room where the incident happened that he slept through. While doing this, he gets knocked out by one of the 2 cadets Albert Hitchcock kicked out of room 28 hours before. Meanwhile, 3 of the other drunk boys start hunting for Hitchcock, and of course they run into obligatory cadet who doesn't party. "Hey fellas, what are you up to? You look like you're up to something fun." "Oh yeah, no, oh no, yeah, no, oh yeah, we're looking for some band instruments, you know, drums, yeah, Yeah, drums! Meanwhile, Albert Hitchcock finds another drunk kid just wandering the halls, and he's also hearing the sound of glass breaking? That's odd. And when he gets back to his room, the Battle of Drunken Masters commences. It was crazy. A literal shot was fired. Arrests were made. Albert Hitchcock tells the I Don't Party kid to get the comm here. But some of these belligerently drunk kids thought he said, get the bombardiers. And bombardiers, those guys are armed to the teeth. Okay? So the drunk kids are telling the sober kids, yo, get your weapons. They're calling in the bombardiers on us. Oh, I forgot to mention who the comm was from the original quote. Yeah, that was Billy Butterworths, the staff member who was going in on that Jefferson Davis gossip at the wine party. See, it's all coming together. The band Slayer, who was also at that dinner party and is collectively the commander of the entire academy, is woken up at 5 a.m. because the band hears someone playing their drum set way too loud. And he tells his assistant to go get Mr. Butterworths, because someone needs to deal with this utter racket. Minutes go by. Albert Hitchcock is fighting the kids. Billy Thornberry wakes up from his coma on the stairs. And the rioters are doing a PR campaign to try and get more cadets to join the cause. And obviously they're failing at it. And the I Don't Party kid couldn't find the Nathanator, but he did find Mr. Butterworths. And like a nerd who loves sweet syrup, he snitched. Mr. Butterworth makes it to Albert Hitchcock and poof, more details revealed. And knock knock, who's at the door now? Slayer called in the artillery from the guard room.
2 o'clock p.m.
Glass has been breaking. People have been injured. The kids are threatening their teachers and swearing like sailors. The sober kids are like, what in the world? Oh, and the south side of campus was well rested, but the north side, it was like night and day, I tell you. Some of the cadets showed up for their daily marches literally drunk. Others just stayed in their room drinking. This is military pandemonium, I tell you. Mr. Butterworth was talking to Slayer about the day before, and Slayer's response, quote, restore order, unquote. We got a captain out here doing a damage report. We got cadets showing up to roll call drunk and getting detained. How could the order possibly be restored? Easily, apparently. When it was time to eat, the cadets all went to the cafeteria, ate, got ordered to do 2 hours of hard labor, did that, and poof, now the kids are too tired for tantrums. So that's the end of the event. Albert Hitchcock and Billy Thornberry were bruised and beaten, as were some of the 50 to 90 cadets who went ham. Slayer had a chat with Governor Kibble, saying, I don't know what I'm gonna do with these kids. Order was restored, but now it's time for justice.
Tuesday, December 26th, 1826, 7 a.m.
Big fat staff meeting! Big fat staff meeting! Slayer's gonna get answers, that he is! 22 kids end up on house arrest! And well, the rest of the follow-up happens next year, but it's all predictable stuff anyways. Mr. Butterworth is put in charge of a committee, the kids are told during an exam that this dope episode of Judge Judy is about to go down. How do I know it was a big deal? 127 witnesses for the 70 kids who were involved. The biggest ones were singled out, and then the court-martial movie marathon started and kept going like clockwork. Congress, the president, both reviewed these sentencings. Yeah, President Quincy from Bleach had a direct say in the punishments of these children. At the end of the day, 19 rabble-rousers were found super guilty. The president himself rescued 7 of them from being expelled. The soldier who provided the boat, a month of hard labor and no whiskey to cope with it. Weems, the guy who started all this with his drunken, hateful ranting, expelled from the military for the rest of eternity on this dying planet. Justice served. Order restored. If you've got something to say about this episode, about the podcast, or about, I don't know, the little lamb, you can find Garble Twistery on Facebook and Twitter, or you can head to garbletwistery.net and send a message in the contact section, or you can email moi. My email is Rafiq, that's R-A-F-I-Q at garbletwistery.net. Also, I have a Patreon, so if you go to patreon.com and become a patron, you'll gain not only the access, but the ability to determine what topics get to be Patreon-exclusive bonus content. And the current bonus I'm still working on is about COD games made fresh for trading, hot off the bagel shelf. Come and get it, but hold on. Next time! Remember how Alexandy, Hammy, Tammy, and Tommy J started their own newspapers to fuel the fire in their battle of wits? Well, I got another kind of newspaper to talk about. I know, way exciting, right?
This is the ending. I'm ending it now.
Billy Butterworths.